What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
WEEI Afternoons. In some form or fashion, I've been doing interviews with Adam Schefter a couple of years now here. That might be my favorite answer he's ever had.
Yep.
I really enjoy, because it encompassed so much of him. Like, it was analytical, it was a little defensive.
Carnage in the streets!
It was a little like that. He even puffed his chest out at the end. Oh, I actually think that last part that Stiz just played is him. I mean, are we going to pretend news comes from press conferences? It doesn't come from press conferences. It comes from me when it comes to my cell phone, and then I tweet it out. That's how you get news, mm-hmm. So you didn't waste any news-gathering time in a press conference.
Good observation. That's probably what that was. And honestly, Adam, we do, here in Boston, get a lot of information from press conferences, actually.
Mike Vrabel is reasonably forthcoming in his press conferences, yep, and in his visits.
Especially when compared to his predecessor.
Well, yeah, but also when compared to a lot of these that I've been to over the years. Like Mike Vrabel, if he can answer your question, he'll answer your question. He'll acknowledge it. He'll go down that road. So I do still think there's value in it. Also, you can tell Adam's answered that a few times. Like, he's really mastered that answer after dealing with whatever he dealt with on Twitter, and I'm sure on TV, some of the cohorts at ESPN asked him about it. He clearly, yep, measured the 27 seconds. I heard, yep, everyone else was like 30 seconds. He's like, no, it was 27.
27.
It's only 27 seconds.
He
Don't
knows.
Exaggerate.
He's got his opinion, and, you know, listen, that's his spin. It was similar to mine and Stiz's yesterday. It wasn't the same as yours, Dan's, Tez. That's okay. But, like, A, you know, always surround yourself with people that disagree with you so you can learn more and get better at it. And B, it's nice to know he's got a heart.
Yeah, he's got a heart. And I enjoyed your victory lap, even though you knew before the answer that he agreed with you because you knew he tweeted it already.
He had a chance to recant and walk it back, and he chose not to. Bravo, Mr. Schefter. And now he's on TV.
Dan Ball?
I'm going to be honest. After the first 4 or 5 seconds of his answer, I kind of tuned out because he said, well, I wouldn't do it. That's all I needed, yeah, to hear. Yeah. He wouldn't do it.
Okay. Yep. We could have moved or put movie posted that.
Point.
Well,
a
but he's point. Also, he doesn't have maternal vibes. I have nipples, Dan. Can you milk me?
He basically said, I'm a professional. I would never do it. But that was nice of the mom to, because he's right. It did feel like a mom.
Sure
and,
did.
And if you were lying on
Sweetness
the field, Ted,
and
your mother ran on the, bad example, but yeah, like, just play along. Can you play
bad.
Along with me?
Sure.
Just play Jeez. Along. I don't
if
think.
You know my history. You
yes,
know that's a bad example.
I know. I regretted it as like I took the turn down this street.
All right.
But, the classic like youth sports example is you don't want your mom running on the court or on the field, right?
Yep.
That's what this. It's inappropriate. Like, it's kind of embarrassing. It's. It might be nice. Her heart is in the right place, yeah, but nobody it's, wants it.
Just yeah, imagine.
Anytime there's a mom is so attached to any player, yes, I get nervous
the,
about that.
The
player.
Last yes. And what's the last most or the most recent famous example of a mom getting involved with a player
Caleb
on the field?
Christian Barmore.
No, the Caleb Williams one on the field when he went and hid behind, yep, the poster board and, yep, cried. And then everyone immediately was like, well, obviously he's a mama's boy. He's not going to be tough enough to, I don't know, make one of the best postseason, mm-hmm, throws we've seen this decade.
Yeah, we can put a pin in that. I actually think that throw is one of the most overrated throws we've talked about in recent years.
You have got to be. I almost said something that rhymes with smitting. You
it's
have
okay.
got to be smithing me.
It's okay. We don't all have to agree. But yeah, Adam Schefter clarified his stance in a way. He kind of didn't clarify it, as Dan Ball said. He said he would never do it, but Lynn Jones did it, and he enjoyed it, and it was motherly and blah, 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 and you don't get news in press conferences, so you're not really wasting any time.
I hope we forgive her and move on en masse. But, of course, then again, if it reminds people, like, hey, she did it, let's all try not to do it going forward. Obviously, Liam Cohen needed that word hug.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where it goes. Water under the bridge. You know what is water on the bridge right now? Whatever. Nico Collins. Adam Schefter said Nico Collins is not playing Sunday night. Like, that's,
yep,
a Sunday afternoon.
Probably not. I mean, it's
that
not-
is massive news when you bring into the scheduling, the 6 days. He was carted off, all of that. He's their best receiver. I know what Christian Kirk did the other day, but Nico Collins is their best receiver. And while we're hearing Schefter say Nico Collins isn't going to play, we get video out of Patriots practice of Christian Gonzalez coming across the field doing drills, catching. So Patriots' best corner on the field, Houston's best wide receiver not on the field. Advantage New England.
No question. No question about it. Nico Collins is their key guy in their offense. So that's not the most potent passing offense in the NFL. So
he's a beast when he's right.
Yeah, and he's a tough cover, especially, you know, in the red zone. So, you know, they could do things to maybe try and get Marcus Jones on him, and now they don't have that that available to him. That is a massive, massive loss for a team that is very much an average offense, even with him in it.
So you probably now slide Jaden Higgins, who's a rookie out of Iowa State, over into his role on the outside, which means you're probably going to get more underneath action from Christian Kirk and from Noel, and that probably even ups the usage of Schultz, the tight end. Like, that's a, like, he's big. He's like a better version. It's hard to compare. He's like an AJ Brown sized receiver. Like, that's,
oh yeah, he's their leading receiver, Schultz. He had whatever 80 catches. Now, you know, 1,200 yards or whatever went to Nico Collins, and he's more of a playmaker. But in terms of receptions, Schultz was their guy. I just think that's a huge blow to that offense. That, and it, as Ted, you just said, it's not really that good of an offense as it is.
Does it one-dimensionalize them, to make a word?
No.
I don't even know what that dimension is.
That's my point. I don't. They're going to try to run it with Marks, obviously.
He's not that good.
No, he's not that good. He's a 3.9, 4 yards a carry kind of back. I mean, this is...
He's Vidal, actually.
For a game that we had Mark Schlereth yesterday, like, I don't know who I want to pick. Oh, 17, 16, who am I taking? Mm-hmm. I think this is a game-changing type injury with Nico Collins. If he indeed, I don't want to say it's final news, but if he indeed does not play, I think this is a big step towards the Patriots winning this game.
It's all coming up Patriots right now.
It is.
It has been all season long.
It is.
Second Schefter said that. The text line listeners that we have that are jumping in on the text line, I should say, that are not Patriots fans. Oh, everything breaks their way. Soft schedule. Now they don't have to play the big receivers. It's all lining up. Well, these
Shaughnessy are, right in the tomato can column as we speak.
I mean, this is how it goes. I mean, if you're in the middle of a star-kissed season and a spectacular, unforeseen turnaround, hey, the breaks go your way.
617-779-7937. Let's work in some listeners. Let's go to David in the car. He has a reaction about Schefter. What's up, David?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Great show. Go Pats. You know, I believe it'll be a tough game, but, you know, I am looking forward to, and I think Patriots will come out victorious. Now, on Adam Schefter. Now, the problem with him that I have with this guy is I never liked him, and I don't like him. He has an Napoleon complex, okay, which you can see it. He thinks he knows it all. You know, and yes, he does get the answers. He does get the tweets and all that, but he thinks he's it, that he's the you know, if it doesn't come from him, it's not legit. And that's too bad because, you know what, we could do without Adam Schefter. The sports world don't need him.
All right, thanks for the call, David.
No.
Well, I'm not a fan of Adam Schefter either.
But Adam Schefter is pretty good. He's at the top of the business. He did shoot down. You alluded to Harbaugh's.
He didn't even let me get out my last one, which was full control. He wants full control, which I think is probably the most interesting kind of bullet point of all. And I should have said demands.
Right.
I should have said ask, but he clamped in on the word demand.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on sources, but that feels like Adam Schefter's had a conversation with John Harbaugh. Like when there's those real quick emotional reactions, feels like he is like close to that situation. So
yeah. And one more point I want to make about Nico Collins being out is, do you trust Nick Caley, the offensive coordinator for the Texans, to adjust, to adapt, to come up with a game plan where he highlights, I don't know, say the running backs or the tight ends, like, I don't know, Josh McDaniels would do when he doesn't have one of his better receivers at his disposal. So I don't trust their coaching staff on offense to adjust the way maybe another coordinator could.
You now just went advantage Patriots at the wide receiver position, advantage Patriots at the tight end position, advantage Patriots at the running back position as well, and most definitely at the OC. Like, again, you know, I still think this game gets won by the Patriots defense versus the offense and shutting down Stroud, forcing him into mistakes. But, man, a lot of things are tilting. The tables are tilting their way.
You figure, can the Texans score 2 touchdowns? Can they get 14 points? I mean, but the biggest question is, it's the other side of the ball. That's the biggest, obviously, matchup, Patriots offense versus Texans defense. Can the the Patriots offense score 17 or more points on that Texans defense?
17 wins.
I think 17 points would win this game.
And does the Texans defense score? Because we saw that late in the Steelers game where they started scoring their own points. Or even if they give it to C.J. Stroud inside the 10, like we saw last week, and just say, don't screw this up. Just get in the end zone, get us some points here. That's that balance of turnovers and that thing too. 617-779-7937. Let's go back to the phone lines for another David. David in Florida. What's up, David?
Hey, how are you?
Great.
There we go. Yeah, so I got one thing about the Red Sox, and I got one thing about the Patriots. The Red Sox, I mean, like they said, this guy is a 3 or 4 starter. He's not a number 2 starter. So let's not get overly excited about this. It's just another ridiculous, just hope they can underpay, just hope they can get somebody and coach him up type of player. But it's nothing to be overly excited about.
All right, so good. You didn't get excited, David, so that's perfect. Right. You're a role player, I mean a method actor there. You didn't get excited while talking about not being excited.
Please
like
use
that.
Your time as efficiently as we can.
But what about David's Patriots take? Save that for tomorrow?
Yeah, well, if it was tomorrow. As good as his Red Sox take, then we should have kept him on.
Hey, how are you?
Dan Ball.
Oh, that was inaccurate.
He's a legacy listener. He's got VIP status. He's got, like, multiple pens.
That's fantastic, and in this instance, he was wrong.
Okay, and he's welcome back anytime, David. Let's go to Steve in the truck. What's up, Steve?
Good afternoon, people. How are we doing today?
Hey, we're good,
big
man.
Steve, what's up?
Super.
You know, I just want to say something. I hate to be derogatory about anybody, but David McCarr is a blowhard, okay? he's full of what Fitzy was going to say, and he didn't say. Mm-hmm. Because the other day he was on, and he was talking about how they were going to lose to the Chargers. Unfortunately, they're going to lose. Now he comes on and he's all nice about they're going to win and all this. He just, I don't know, something about that guy, he gets me. Either you are a fan of the people in your, you know, the teams in your area, or you're not. And he goes both ways, and I can't stand that. Whether they're losing and they're four game winning team, or they're a 14 game winning team. I'm with them all the way, all the teams in the city. That's how I look at it. Maybe I'm wrong, but I just can't stand when a guy comes on and he's talking out of both sides of his mouth.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
There we go.
Wow,
Steve. Now we've got caller ombudsman. I love that. Caller on caller of crime.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. 2 new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
It's great. You know, I don't know if he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. I mean, David in the car is a very passionate guy. I don't know if you guys know. He was formerly a private detective and a professional athlete.
So he says. We got some new audio. Speaking of head coaches and decisions and four-win seasons, there was a four-win season a year ago that cost Gerard Mayo his job. Well, our buddy Brian Hoyer and his podcast partner, David Andrews, had a chance to sit down with Robert Kraft this week at Gillette Stadium in one of the suites. And they asked him a long interview, boatload of questions. But when they asked him, leading into what happened last year and the transition of power from Mayo to Vrabel, it's a really interesting answer. So listen to this, because I think we have some reactions to this.
He has a humility that's genuine. And so it's like, putting family first, it's putting team first. You know, anyone who saw it and has...
Okay, so that was a little taste of what we were talking about. So that was the last answer that's that he Drake gave in May. The podcast about Drake May, talking about his best attribute being his humility, which you know, interesting. He went right from, he didn't have a thing to say about the play that was going on the field. Just like this guy's personality is what I'm going
It's
about.
So funny. I think it's his giant right arm.
Yeah, I know. He didn't say a thing about it, but okay, that was the taste. This is what we're talking about.
I would say that was one of the one or two hardest decisions, mm-hmm. because to fire a guy after 1 year, and by the way, it was very expensive because there were not only his contract, but 25 other coaches. It's the worst financial implication since we've owned the team. But I'm a fan first, and I thought, I can't, this just isn't the right situation, and, you know, that's on me, and...
All right, you can stop it there. So, he said it was on him, which I like. Mm. Bringing up the finance of it, the worst financial implications he's ever had to deal with.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on that, Ted?
I don't think it's appropriate at that point. I mean, it's the Patriots have been the lowest spending cash team in his ownership for the entire time he's been the owner. So when you are the lowest spending team in cash for that amount of time, and you're complaining about having to pay coaches salaries that aren't coaching for you anymore. I just think that's – and you have a very expensive ticket. It's not cheap to go to Patriots games. I think it's – I just thought it was probably an inappropriate thing to say.
Made a lot of money for decades, built a mall, renovated the stadium, built a lighthouse, put a nice big giant TV in next to it. Also had a quarterback that didn't take a lot of money for a long time as well. That said, we did sort of overlook like, oh, man, they're going to have to eat mayos 3 more years at $8 million a year. Oh yeah, they did have to fire Van Pelt, and they did have to fire Covington, and they did have to.
Yeah, but he chose Gerard Mayo.
Oh, right. I know. Not only
hire him, lock him into a contract that made him the coach in waiting,
and then irritate your previous coach by locking him in behind him, and then creating a rift between Team Mayo and Team Belichick, if I'm allowed to say that name on these airwaves. But also, like, it is a bad financial decision. But I think the point to be made is, like, I had to eat a lot of money. You know what? I'm glad I did. It hurt to do it, but I'm glad I did. I'm not sure if he really – did he come out and say, like, I'm glad I ate that money?
Well, and
– No, he didn't.
And by eating that money, you made a lot more money. Because you're now you just had a home gate playoff game. You got another home gate playoff game.
You don't even have your souvenirs at the pro shop. They're all, like, sold out.
You made a boatload of money off that. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of Sam Kennedy that we started the show with talking about, well, we did sign Crochet to an extension. It's called the cost of doing business. If you don't want to do business, then don't do the business.
Yeah.
Have you heard Mark Davis? And we don't listen to him a lot. I believe Mark Davis is paying 5 coaching staffs. Yep. Out in Las Vegas. And a lot of people think Mark Davis is one of the cash low owners of the NFL, that he's not in the billionaires'
club. His new house would just say otherwise.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what would say otherwise? That he just keeps canning coaches because he thinks it's the best thing for his team. And I don't see him calling Porrell or Ryan Poverty.
What if he's really terrible at his job?
No, but he's not bitching. He may be terrible. The fact that he's paying 5 coaches says he's hiring bad coaches. The hiring is bad. But I don't want to hear... You hired him. You hired him quicker than you actually could have hired Mike Vrabel previously if you hadn't locked in Gerard Mayo too soon. You made this bed, so you had to lie in it, right? It may have satin sheets and be an expensive bed, but you made the damn bed yourself. Is that fair?
It's just interesting, though. I mean, John Henry said something a couple years of FanFest talking about how expensive it is.
Oh, players are expensive.
Players are expensive. It's just when the owner is talking about how expensive things are.
You don't say.
It falls on deaf ears. And then Mr. Kraft would say, I'm a fan first. Well, fans want you to spend money.
Right.
So
no fan has ever thought about firing a coach and, oh, my God, we have to pay that staff.
But also, if Robert
25 assistants we have to pay. We can't do that.
As he continues to remind us he's a fan first, he would have to be the first one then to say, like, ooh, by the way, the product has been way better this year.
I
like this that much more.
He could have actually said, but it was the best money I ever spent.
There you go.
Right?
That's what you say.
It's an investment in the future.
Best investment I ever made.
Cost of doing business.
And we just watched it on Sunday night, and we're going to watch it again next week
Like, 2 years ago, you had Bailey Zappe getting flexed out of Sunday Night Football with Taylor Swift in the stadium to play a meaningless 1 o'clock game with the Z team on Fox, and now you go from Sunday Night Football in the wild card round on NBC to ESPN in the building at 3 o'clock in the divisional round, Ted. He could have spent 5 times what he spent on Mayo and his team getting dismissed.
The rich people, I mean, they could be billionaires. They're so worried about losing $1.
Oh, yeah.
$1.
Not the common folk who just spend it.
That's what they always say. The rich people didn't get rich by spending money. they don't tip well. Like, you'll hear people complain about rich people aren't the best tippers and those types of things. They got rich by making sure they keep their money. That's why we're not rich. We're very generous.
They give money away to donation.
It's called tax deduction.
They got loopholes. Absolutely. 617-779-7937. What'd you think about Robert Kraft bringing up the financial implications of firing Gerard Mayo in the midst of a playoff run with the new head coach that went after Gerard Mayo? But up next, we are going to go back to a little Red Sox chatter. We have the one, the only, and I'm guessing he's not angry, because the Red Sox have a free agent signing, a big pitcher free agent signing. Lou Maloney joins us next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, what do you got for trending, Dan Ball?
What's up? It's Draymond Green, back for my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast, The Draymond Green Show. Unfiltered takes, real hoop talk, and big-time guests. There's no holding back on the court or on the mic. Follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.